Beloved of God, grace and peace to you this day from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit our Comforter, who is here now in this room to move us, to inspire us, and to refresh us with God's presence. This morning, I decided to let you in on a preaching secret. Not sure that I've shared this before, and I conferred with Pastor Eric before the service to make sure that it was okay to do this. The preaching secret is this: that sometimes we preachers, when we're putting together a message and delivering a sermon, do so with one person in mind. Or maybe a small group of people within the larger body. Now, it's always true that the gospel is for all of God's people, and we hope that everyone for whom the sermon is not specifically intended overhear the good news. But there are occasions when a message is prepared for a congregation of one. Now, after saying that, I have to say that when some texts come up like this one, you have to be careful. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? Happy Valentine's Day. I don't recommend this putting on your Valentine's card this year. Just every passage about a heart doesn't automatically qualify. I'm not using this one, so I'm not thinking about any of you in context here. We take care of this with the confession and forgiveness at the beginning. When I say that, when I say we're thinking about a particular people, it's usually for encouragement, hoping that this person or these persons will be encouraged or hear hope or hear the comfort that they need. This morning, full disclosure, I intend to preach one of these sermons, but I'll tell you who it's for. It's for Aubrey Catherine, who I'm looking at in the back row, my granddaughter, who will be baptized in a few minutes, along with her cousins, my other grandkids, Ava and Gabe and Clara. But I'm hoping as baptized people, or maybe people who are interested in baptism, or persons who are not quite sure what baptism is all about, you will also lean in and hear God's word for you today as well. So, Aubrey, she hurt. Pay attention. I know you're looking right here. I appreciate that. This is a big day for you and your parents and your sponsors and your grandparents, and for God's whole church, because today we welcome you by water and the word into the communion of saints. But before we get to that, I want to tell you something about your great grandpa Pete. Your great grandpa Pete was a planter. He spent much of his life planting plants in a greenhouse. And a greenhouse isn't a greenhouse. A greenhouse is a building made of glass that looks green because as you look through the glass, you see it filled with plants. And that's my dad. That's your great-grandpa. And I bet in his lifetime, he planted not 10,000, not 100,000. I bet he planted 1,000,000 plants. And when I was Gabe or Ava's age, I would toddle down to that place where all those plants were, and I would watch my dad plant bib lettuce and leaf lettuce and tomatoes, and this time of year, geraniums and petunias and impatiens and pansies. He would spend hour after hour planting, and I would watch and ask questions. It was interesting to spend all that time there. One day, I noticed that my dad was moving plants. He was taking plants that he had planted in one part of the greenhouse and then moving them to another part of the greenhouse. It seemed like he was just repeating himself. Why would you do that? And then he told me he was transplanting. And I had not heard that word. I knew what planting was. I knew what planting meant, but transplanting. And he explained that you transplant something to make it healthier and stronger and more vigorous. And if I would have known the word flourish, he might have used that. You transplant a plant so that it will flourish in a new place where it can't flourish in the old place. And then I learned that you can transplant more than plants, right? So a transplant is a plant that has been or is to be transplanted. A transplant is a person or thing that has been moved to a new place or a new situation. Aubrey and Ava and Gabe and Clara, you're a little bit young to understand metaphors. And we in the church love metaphors because the Bible is full of metaphors. And one of the reasons we ask parents and sponsors and a whole congregation to help you understand God as you grow up is we'll explain this to you. We'll explain what this means. You're a little young to get it today, but you will get it. When you are baptized, as you are will be baptized today, Arby, you are transplanted. You are moved into a new situation. You will be moved to the waters of your baptism, to the banks of living water that flows from God to you. And your young lives are now like little trees, like little seedlings planted by this body of water that flows from your baptism and that will always flow in your direction. God will never shut it off. Your young lives are now washed and blessed and hydrated by the waters of baptism. It will flow wherever you go and whatever you do. You are transplanted here today, Aubrey, for life. That means for your whole life, but also means for the abundant life that Jesus promises when he comes to us. The word of God that we hear today reminds all of us of the difference in our lives between trying to do it on our own, trying to do it ourselves by our own strength, and trusting in the Lord for strength. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength." Please hear this, not as God's punishment. God's not looking at who out there is trying to do it their own. God's saying the outcome. This is a description of what happens when we try to do our own thing by ourselves. They shall be like a shrub in the desert. They won't even be able to tell where relief comes from. They'll live in parched places, in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. It happens even when we have the best of intentions to do good things on our own, right? One of the pastors you've heard me quote often recently is a pastor by the name of Rich Viotis. And he talks about prayer as a steadfast refusal to either resignation or self-reliance. So prayer is what God gives us to send those roots into the waters of our baptism. Worship, we're here to have those roots stay connected to the waters of our baptism. Milestone ministry, faith formation, all things. We want you to stay connected to the gift that comes to you in the waters of your baptism. So prayer for one is a refusal to give ourselves to resignation or self-reliance. Resignation says the world is the way it is. Nothing's going to change it. And self-reliance says, yes, it's going to change. If I just try harder, if I just move faster, if I just double down my efforts, I know that I can make a difference. In both cases, we end up in the desert. The former is marked by despair, the latter by a futile confidence in our own efforts. That's what Jeremiah is talking about. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, blessed are you. A better translation is, satisfied are you who are poor, who are hungry. Satisfied are you who understand that you can't go life on your own, at least not for very long. And then he says, woe to you, which is like, look out. Look out, those of you who are rich now, those of you who are laughing now, those of you who are comfortable now, those of you about whom people say only good things, those of you who understand that you can get by, you can make a go of it under your own strength. It will run out. Those of us who love you, Aubrey, and Clara, and Ava, and Gabe, we want so much for this world to be better for you, and not just for you, but for all the other people who are here, for those of your generation, for young and old, we want it to be better. And we believe here in the church that those changes start right at the font, right where God gets God's hands on us, where the Word gets on us and in us, where God names us and claims us as God's own, where the Holy Spirit begins to fill us up from the inside out to empower us. There God meets us to make us God's own and begins to change the world by changing us. Aubrey, I'll tell you, your papa has tried going it on his own. He's tried to do this church stuff by himself. He's tried to cut God out of the equation and double down with his own strength and gifts, and it just doesn't work very well. It always runs out. And someday it will run out for good. I know I'm sad about that too, Aubrey. But those of us who are transplanted for life in the waters of baptism, those of us who return to trusting in God, will be like a tree planted by water, by this endless source of water, Jeremiah says, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious. It does not cease to bear fruit. Notice Jeremiah doesn't say if the heat comes. He says when the heat comes, when tough times come, when your roots are still connected to the waters of life, you will not shrivel up. You will not be done. And in the year of drought, when the landscape and our soulscape dries up, we will not be anxious. We will not cease to bear fruit. Our roots will keep reaching into the waters of life, which begin right at the font now. So, beloved ones, as much as we want to protect you from bad things happening, from any kind of hardship and every kind of suffering, it's just not possible. You will discover that for yourself, but not too soon, I hope. In the meantime, we give you this gift, or we put you in the way of the God who gives us and gives you this gift of life, this gift of water. We transplant you from our family circle as much as we love you. We are limited in that love. We transplant you from this circle into the communion of saints, into this body and the larger church, so that you will know God's love. You will know God's love bubbling up in the waters of your baptism now and always. And so not even in the worst of days and not even at the end of days will this connection between you and our Lord Jesus be severed. So, one of the first miracles I noticed when I was toddling down to the greenhouse was what happened when my dad transplanted. He would be leaning on a board that was placed over the bed of dirt. It was freshly tilled, and he had this box of seedlings, and he'd lay it on the freshly tilled dirt, and then he'd pull out the seedlings, and one by one, he would lay the seedling on the soil and tap down that one-inch white root, and he would do it again and again and again. And if you've been in a greenhouse, even in the wintertime, it can get pretty hot because it's all glass and the sun is beating down. It can be a warm place. And so I watched that, and I would look at the plants, and I would notice soon after he actually pushed them in the dirt, not much of them, just the root, they would wither, they would wilt, they would look like they were dead. And I was kind of fearful for my dad, like he didn't really know what was going on. Dad, do you see what's happening here? These plants, they're dying right after you plant them. He looked at me and he smiled and he said, just wait. Wait and see what happens when the water comes. Wait and see what happens when we splash, when we water all these things. They will spring back to life. Blessed are you when someone, when the Lord, when God's church plants you by streams of water, you will spring up to new life. You shall be like a tree. You shall be like a seedling. You shall be like a child, planted by living water, and by water in God's word, she shall, we shall, the church shall live. Amen.